Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we praise you. We thank you. We ask you to open our eyes and our ears, Lord, to the things that are coming, and especially to spiritual warfare, Lord. If we don't fight, we lose. That's what you have taught us. So, thank you, Father, for helping us discerning today what is the right direction for the spiritual warfare. What is the nature of it? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to call this Power of Spiritual Warfare. And we're going to start with Tiana Fire, 4:10:23. We called it Being a Light in the Rebellious Camp. Yep, we have to be able to get this across to people. And this is all about that. In a dream, I was participating in and working in a children's summer camp that could only be accessed on a dirt road that had no signal. Everyone that worked there was a woman. Well, this children's summer camp represents the apostate church, where there are many spiritually immature people and distractions, and there's no signal or connection to the Holy Spirit because of legalistic doctrines and because they haven't received the Holy Spirit. So, she went on to say, it was only a few days into the season and there were so many different activities. I believe this is representing the busyness and the distractions, because that's all there is there, you know, to keep us from the truth. I didn't have a car to get around, so I either caught a lift or I walked. And I believe this represents the legalism of self-works that plague the walk of people in apostate church systems. As it got to the third night, I realized that I didn't want to be here, but I wanted to be with my husband, Samuel, and our son, David. Well, I believe this is represented desiring to be with the father and the son, the David man-child ministry, in a true relationship. So, I went to the only landline and called Samuel to come and pick me up. I was expecting him to come the next day during daylight, but instead he drove to me straight away, although it took a few hours for him to get to me. I was thinking of Isaiah 58:9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord will answer. Thou shalt cry, and he will say, Here I am. So I went and started packing up the many things in the room that I was staying in, and when Samuel came to get me, I gave him some of the items and went to pack the rest of my things that I had in all different areas of the place. I believe this is kind of representing the process of repentance and giving all our burdens to the Lord. Matthew 11:28-30 says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I went to the kitchen, and there were three women in there asking me why I was leaving. The kitchen is the place of the preparation, I would say, of the food, the spiritual food for the immature people. And women are not supposed to be leaders in the church or preachers, according to the Word of God. Of course, they go by their own rules, okay, and what people like, okay. Then one of the girls named Courtney, meaning from the court or short nose, representing legalism and immature discernment, I would say, came over and gave me a present with a card and pamphlet on it. I didn't look at it, but laid it on the bench in front of me and kept grabbing my things. So basically she's on the way out, right? Courtney then came back and remembered that I only follow Jesus and said, "Actually, I don't think you would like this," referring to the present. I opened the pamphlet and I saw it had a recipe for simple spells. And I handed it back to her and said kindly but boldly, "No, I don't like it." Well, many religious people do not recognize that they are in rebellion against the word, which is witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as idolatry and teraphim." Well, she wasn't offended, and she took the present back and went and put it away. Well, that's because of what really is being symbolized here. Coming into submission to the word is a learning process. There are many people that are into witchcraft or rebellion, and they need a learning process to come out, and they need kindness, and so on and so forth. I turned around and saw that there were now other people sitting on the couch and standing around, and they were all curious as to why I was leaving. That's good. I looked at two specific girls, and I saw in the spirit that they were practicing witches, and they could see in the spirit realm. And as soon as they knew that I saw them as witches, they wondered how I could see. And I said to them out loud, "It's Jesus." They were taken aback and couldn't understand what I meant. Well, we know the Holy Spirit gives us discernment when religious people are rebellious against the word, which is witchcraft. I continued collecting my things, and Courtney came back over again, and I shared about how Jesus is more powerful than the spells and the witchcraft, and there's more knowledge and understanding in him. Let me say that witchcraft is many times translated from pharmakia. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Amen. She was very open to hearing about Jesus as he was drawing her, and I turned and I saw that everyone in the room was watching me talking about him. Well, we know God will save his elect out of the apostate church system, which is in rebellion against God and doesn't respect the word of God. I could tell the two practicing witches weren't wanting Jesus yet, but they were still watching and everyone else was curious. I then put my finger on my mouth and I saw that a large chip of my tooth had fallen out. And I knew that the two ladies had done some spell or curse to cause this. And I felt it was to show off their power and to impress the others around them. Well, spiritually, teeth falling out represents not being able to chew on the word or the solid food, as it's called in the scriptures, which is what? To do the will of the Father. Okay. So this not being able to chew the word or the spiritual food, witchcraft or rebellion against the word in any form can hinder our spiritual growth in Christ. I grabbed the part of the tooth and smiled up to heaven and thanked God and put the chip back into the tooth and praised God for completely fixing and healing my tooth. And it supernaturally connected back in and was healed. And everyone there got to witness Jesus' miracle. Well, we do have to demonstrate the gospel before people. And it's very powerful when God confirms his word with signs and wonders, right? So when we truly desire to consume the word, God will help us to overcome all obstacles and hindrances. I continued to grab my things from the lounge room, and the two witches came and sat down on the couch, watching me curiously, but also trying to imitate me. There were other people there that had no knowledge of the spiritual realm, sitting there watching me pack, and I got down on my knees, I believe probably representing humbling yourself and being weak to the weak, to get on their level. And I said to the two witches that before I followed Jesus, I did everything my own way, and God started revealing the spiritual realm to me with supernatural knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and revelations. You too know about spirits and aliens, etc. And I used to believe that too, but after knowing all this spiritual truth, I kept doing things my own way until God showed me that hell is real. And those spirits and aliens are just fallen angels. And we know, of course, they just want to carry people away to their place, right? I related my testimony to those women, and I told them that they didn't know the full truth. They were deceived, like I was. I said everything out of love to them, and I could understand where they were. I could see them opening up to the truth in their hearts. And they were looking for truth, but the enemy tricked them to twist knowledge for their own power. Well, we know that many will be delivered from Satan's deceptions and escape the apostate rebellious house through the word of our testimony, quote unquote. As I thought this, the demons that operated through these girls came all around me as if to fight me. I looked up to heaven and asked Father to please send holy angels around me. And holy angels appeared and pushed back all the fallen angels. And the enemy couldn't do anything. Everyone was still watching and witnessing that the holy angels were greater and more powerful. Psalm 103 and 20 says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word." Yes, the angels go to work for us when we are in agreement with the word of God. I kept testifying about all Jesus has done for me and how he has changed me. And I ended up not packing up the rest of my things, but I felt to just leave the things there, and God will provide me new ones if I really need them. Well, that kind of symbolizes, I believe, that we should leave our religious baggage behind to have a true relationship with the Lord. Samuel was still waiting in the car for me to come out, and I believe that this represents that the Father is patient with us, Psalm 86 and 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. The witches were seeing the truth and understanding about Jesus, and the others were also drawn to the real good news. In the spiritual realm, I could see all the demons that operated through them and held them all in bondage. They were so angry, and they all came out to intimidate me to not continue testifying of Jesus. And I said, "The blood of Jesus," and they all fell back and couldn't do anything. Another horde of demons came running down the hallway quickly to me, and holy angels stepped in front of me like a wall or a shield. Everyone's demons in that room in the spiritual realm did everything they could to stop Jesus in me from speaking the word and truth, as it was breaking strongholds in these people and setting them free. In this physical realm, it was just me on my knees speaking about Jesus and others calmly sitting on couch or standing around and listening. But in the spiritual realm, there was this big battle of demons trying to attack. But the holy angels were blocking it all. And of course, Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood." The devil likes to get us in that trap. "But against principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And then I woke up. Amen. A good parable about ministering to, well, like Jesus said, he was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, they're not supposed to be lost, right? And of course, in the New Testament, Israelites are they who are circumcised in heart. Okay? So this other revelation I want to share with you, Marie Kelton, 3:4-23, and we called it "An Attack of the Rebellious." "During the meeting, I had an open vision of a wooded area. I saw a small circle of fire. I then saw a group of people with black hoods come out of the woods, stand around the fire in a circle. Then another person that was standing in the circle of fire had a goat by the neck, and they cut the neck of the goat with a knife over the cauldron. I saw this multiple times." Well, you know, the witches have attempted, the witchcraft faction have attempted to stop us from doing what we're doing. And they wouldn't call it that, but it's Satanism. But they're rebellious against any word of God, and they obey exactly as they want to. They have complete freedom to be broken loose from the word of God. The rebellious witches are always busy fighting against God and his saints. And they're sending witchcraft, slander, and faction against the saints. Okay, so you have to resist that. You have authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you if you believe it. So, this next one was given to Tiana Fire, 3:26-23. Spiritual warfare spray. Another symbolism. I dreamed that I was invited to this giant mansion that was like a high-rise building, and it was located on the edge of a high cliff, and it looked over a wide river. Well, I believe that this represents Zion, the tower of the flock, and the cleft of the rock, and being planted by the river of living waters. Micah 4:8. "And thou, O tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Yea, the former dominion shall come." You've been given dominion over the enemy just as they were formerly. "The kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem." Okay, in Psalm 2:14. "O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the covert of the steep place, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." And Jeremiah 17:7-8. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose trust the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when heat cometh, but its leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." And of course, that's the river of living waters, which is the word of God. "I went up to the very top floor, and it was set up with many communal areas, like many computers in a room. many bathrooms all joined together, a giant lounge room where there were many people sitting down, and many bedrooms joined and other rooms, etc. Well, she says this is representing the original church of Acts living in one accord. I agree with that. Also, I'll add this, Ephesians 2:19-22 says, "So then ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints," or sanctified ones, "and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets." That's what we have to be built on. It's already laid down in the Word. We just step in their steps, right? "Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord." So the people coming together in one accord are the temple of God, as is said elsewhere. "In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." God dwells in Zion, and this description of Zion. "There were many males living here. I was taken to a special room where I met the owner of this whole building, and he was only a young man." I believe this is representing Jesus, the man child. "He said that he had a gift for me, and he sprayed my face with this thing, and when I'd go outside the building, I could see principalities over the areas. I could see demons and what they were doing now and what they were going to do next. This spray only lasted for a short period of time," and I believe this is representing a gift of discerning of spirits. Sometimes God lets you see in the spirit realm and see what demons are doing and so on. "I left this place and went across the river to the only house that was on that part of the land, and at this time the spray wore off. David Eels came out of the house, and he needed someone to look after his 8 sons while he went out to do God's work." Well, 8 is a significant number. 888 is the gematria of Jesus, right? "And I said I could, and David went to where God wanted him to go. And I went into the house and met his sons. They were all between the ages of 5 to 13, babes in Christ," she says. "They were good, well-behaved, and well-mannered, and they were in unity with each other. If you become as a child, that's maturity in the kingdom of God. A child just trusts their father. They obey their father," so on and so forth. They don't have their own ideas yet, so they lean more on their father, right? "They had lots of energy, and I didn't have to do much except clean up a little bit. They all took good care of themselves and were in unity." These represent, I believe, David's spiritual children who are coming into the likeness of Christ, represented by the number 8. And 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, "For though you have 10,000 tutors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I begat you through the gospel." So there are fathers out there who sow the seed of the Father and into the church, into those that are coming into the kingdom. And in that way, they're sowing the only seed that is permissible in the New Testament spiritually, right? "Towards the late afternoon, one of the younger sons came running to me, and he told me he had sprayed himself with the same spray that I had gotten sprayed with in the tower. He was worried because he was now seeing scary creatures outside. And I asked him to please spray me too so I could see the same things he was seeing. And he sprayed me. And I went outside and saw some demons all around the place, But the biggest one I saw was a giant wolf that was viciously running in quick circles around a town. It was making loud howls, and it seemed angry. So, these demons were all around the house. And, of course, they're doing everything they can to destroy Zion, the bride. Everything they can. Because this, the devil knows, is his mortal enemy. And so now this town, I believe, and the wolf running around it probably represents these factious religious cults out there that they call religions, you know, who are driven by witchcraft to attack the sheep. And this we have seen in the States and overseas, that they're with their witchcraft trying to attack the people of God that are doing the work, getting the gospel out, the real gospel out. The devil hates the real gospel. Acts 20, 29 through 30 says, "Know that after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Yes, you can tell them they're ambitious, they're competitive, they're self-willed, they're bold, and, you know, they're just totally out of the will of God. "And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them." Yes, and as you listen to those words, that's a seed that goes into your heart and recreates them in you and recreates their spirits in you. So you don't want to listen to something's contrary to the word. And another text is Ezekiel 22 and 27. "Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls, that they may get dishonest gain." This is everywhere. There are deceivers everywhere. You have to get familiar with the word of God so that you're familiar with a true shepherd. Amen. "I then saw all these mummified-looking spirits begin running towards the house from the hills." And I believe this is representing the spirits of the living dead. They want to think you to think that they're living, but they're dead. Kind of like the factious who bite and devour. And the blood of the saints is in their teeth. They have killed quite a few people. "I ran back inside and told all David's sons to close all the doors, windows, and curtains, etc." And, well, guard your heart and keep hidden the treasure of the truth and the life of Christ in yourself. But these doors and windows represent protecting your eye gates and your ear gates from slander and criticism of the factious that they use to cause you to be unforgiving so that you're turned over to the tormentors, as Jesus said, right? And Psalm 101 and 3 says, "I will set no base thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me." Amen. So everyone started closing all the windows and the doors. However, before everything was closed, a mummy got inside of the house. So we all ran into one of the bedrooms. Well, entering into the rest is what's here. I mean, you don't have to fear. You can rest because you have authority over these creatures. And so entering into the rest combined with spiritual warfare during the attacks of the enemy and believing it's already accomplished is how you handle this. "I found a couple of hidden guns that were red. They were special, not like normal guns." These red guns, I believe, represent our weapon of the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus, as we saw earlier. the blood of Jesus, the demons ran, right? I said that these can be used to shoot only the demons. And I kept one and gave the other two to a couple of David's boys. Well, she said, the word of God is a weapon to the enemy. We all left the room, and I shot the mummy, and it completely disappeared when it got hit. And the boys ran outside and started shooting all the mummy demons that they saw, and they all disappeared. Isn't that cool? Amen. So let's plead the blood of Jesus and defeat all the demons who use the wicked against us, right? Okay, here's another one. Tiana Fire, resisting the enemy, 3:23. As I was trying to sleep, I started having these random evil thoughts out of nowhere, and it was something I rarely ever have. I rebuked these thoughts and recalled scripture to my mind instead. But the wicked thoughts kept coming back. I had to keep resisting them and thinking on Jesus and his word and the promises instead. The enemy stopped for a little while, but then they came back even stronger. And the evil thoughts kept invading. It was a constant battle in my mind. And the battle got stronger and worse and more contrary to the word. But I resisted it all. Well, this is like a factious witchcraft attack that many have gone through. It's like boot camp, a place to learn how to resist and conquer the enemy spirits, right? So God runs us through these training courses here. And he wants us to be sure to use this spiritual warfare, recognize the enemy, the real enemy, are these spirits behind the scene, right? And do spiritual warfare. So the evil thoughts became even more consistent, powerful, and intense. And I prayed in my mind to God to please get this devil away from me, as I don't agree with it. I wondered how long this would go on. And it honestly felt like the longest time. And I thought it would never go away. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. Don't let the devil tell you you can't bear this or you're going to give in to this, you know. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Amen. You can endure it. Yes, you can. Especially if you speak the word of God against the real spiritual enemy. So the enemy tried throwing everything he could at me, and I resisted it all, and I spoke scriptures in my mind back to him. Then it finally completely and suddenly stopped and didn't come back. Well, there were no more thoughts or feelings from the devil anymore, and I was able to fall asleep. James 4:7 says, "Be subject, therefore, to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So this is because he's just a big bluffer. He has no authority. Jesus bound the strong man, and he said to us, "Sick him." Right? I then had a vision of the process of this trial that I had just gone through with the enemy's attacks, and how it was like birth pains. The mild contractions came just like the enemy attacks and stayed for a little while and then subsided. And then the contractions became constant and got more intense and stronger. And the enemy became constant, trying harder, and the trials became more intense. Sometimes birthing contractions feel like they go on too long. And women wonder how long until they will end. Well, some trials feel like they have been going on for so long, and the enemy tries to give us doubt that the trial will end. But Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." So endure the trial. Resist the devil. Submit to God, right? Well, towards the end of the trials, the enemy gets more intense and throws everything he can at us to get us to fail or to give in. And it gets so intense, and then suddenly the trial is completely over. Just how the contractions are so intense and strong, and suddenly the baby is delivered, and the pain is completely gone. All glory to God. Yep, and she gives John 16:21. The woman, when she giveth birth, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she delivereth the child, she remembereth no more the tribulation, for the joy that a man is born into the world. Yes, and we endure these trials to manifest that man, who is Jesus Christ, who is birthing in us, and soon to be seen by the world, right? Whenever we manifest him to the world, they're seeing that baby, right? I felt that we need to call unto the Lord in the midst of our trials. Romans 10:13 says, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, amen. Cast down all your vain imaginations, all those little lies that want to lead you away from the Scripture, and press into him, she said. He struggled for our freedom in every aspect, and our debts are paid in full by him. Amen. So we know that the battle in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is to cast down these vain imaginations that are fired at us, that we don't agree with them because they don't agree with the Scripture. And if we endure to the end, we will win. Okay, this is Geneva Stats 226. Witchcraft defeated by the name of Jesus. Well, amen. I had a dream that I was in a room with a big open window, and I was supposed to be getting rest. There was a big bed in the room, and in the bed were these young-looking Jezebel witches. They had a bunch of dark makeup and piercings all over their faces, and they had terrible angry looks on their faces. And there was a girl beside them that was needing healing and was wanting to be delivered. Well, this girl represents God's elect among the rebellious apostates in the house. Amen. So God has some people in there. Judiciously, act humbly, but act, right, against the principalities and powers. I started speaking the name of Jesus and was praying in the Holy Spirit and was claiming deliverance over this girl. Well, that's probably representing our spiritual warfare for our brethren trapped in the apostate church system. The witches didn't like it and became very vociferous about it. I haven't heard that word in a long time. Then another sister suddenly appeared and began speaking in agreement with me. Well, Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst," right? "And if any two of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father." Amen? So two are very powerful. We then started praying louder and saying, "In the name of Jesus," over and over, and the next thing I knew, I looked down beside me, and there was a compass or a pendulum object on the ground beside me that the witches had placed there as a tool against us. Well, we have to beware of Satan's devices. They have no authority or power over us if we believe that. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11 says, "But to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For what I also have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, for your sakes have I forgiven it in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Yes. Make sure you have forgiven everyone if you do spiritual warfare, because you might get clobbered. And make sure when you are being attacked that you forgive, or you might get clobbered. We just continued to confess the name of Jesus and held our hands up and praised him amid them until suddenly these witches had to begin speaking the name of Jesus as well. Huh. They began speaking and coming into agreement with us to the name of Jesus. Well, the word says that even the demons must confess the name of Jesus, and that's exactly what started happening until this girl was set free. So, praise the Lord. And then I woke up. All right. This was Samuel Fire 4:14-23. The fiery power of a mustard seed. I had a vision of a mustard seed growing into a very large tree, just as in the parable. I then saw the powerful spice and heat from just one seed, and how powerful a mustard tree would be if all the seeds were used. That's interesting. Well, the power of unity is seen in prayers like Matthew 18:19-20. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Yes. So, you have power to join with others. If you feel that you don't have enough, join with others and come into agreement. When the seed is broken and added to water, it creates a hot oil. Our faith as a mustard seed extracted and applied with the water of the Word creates an intense fiery oil, representing the power of God and an anointing to be poured out for His glory. Well, amen. And Mark 4:30-32 says this, and he said, how shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or in what parable shall we set it forth? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown upon the earth, though it be less than all the seeds that are upon the earth, yet when it is sown, groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and putteth out great branches, so that the birds of the heaven can lodge under the shadow thereof. All right, this is another one, Samuel 5:4-13-23. Don't rejoice at the enemy's defeat. Focus on your walk. I heard the Lord say, be the loving example of my word. Press into the perfect place of me. Keep on focusing on me. Read and pray. Be helpful to each other in assistance. Help each other with encouraging words spoken in agreement. No one has suffered more than the price paid by my son. Do not compare to others. Do not rejoice because of the enemy's defeat, but be concerned over your walk and encourage others towards righteousness. Draw deeper and closer into me, and desire to do with me all the great things that I have prepared for you. Learn to have no ability to do anything by self. Everything is already done in Christ. I have said it is now a time to delve deeper in the revelation of my love for you. I felt that we just need to let go, stop, and believe. It can be so hard to do, but just think and speak in agreement with Him, especially in the trials. Do not worry. Everything is done. You don't have to worry about it all. I felt that we needed, Samuel said, I felt that we needed to praise God, to speak in agreement with His word concerning His love for us, and to receive it through Him. Okay, and back to the Lord. The enemy is always attacking and lying to you every moment. The world is always trying to distract you and trying to get in between you and me. The enemy and flesh try to use your hurt and your old memories to separate us. But you need to give all of these to me. And when you read and apply my word in truth and love, I am welcomed and connected to you. And when it is difficult, give to me attention and prayer. Praise me, for I am your final answer and solution. Well, back to Samuel here again, 4:12-23. There is no contest. Okay. This is what people don't understand, you know. He said, I had a vision of two types of fighting rings, one like the WWF wrestling and another like a serious boxing match. The first was how the world and the apostate church view spiritual warfare, like a wrestling match, right? God versus Satan, with Jesus getting tagged in. A comical and complete waste of time. Yep, we know that God is sovereign over all things, and He wins even using vessels of honor and dishonor. You're going through a test. The control is God. He's in control of the whole thing. He's in control of the wicked. He's in control of the righteous. You're going through a test. Are you going to agree with His word and act upon it? Yeah. The other fighting ring is how disciples of Christ view spiritual warfare. Jesus crushing defeats Satan. And Father God refereeing. There is no contest. There's no chance of any other outcome. Jesus is the victor and glory to our Father forever. Yes, if we act contrary to the word, Jesus permits the enemy to clobber us. Yes. And if you walk in agreement with the word and confess the word and the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He gives you the victory over them. It's training. It's like boot camp, right? So, let the shackles of condemnation fall, we call this one. This is Debbie Finsky's word, 3:6-23. At our Monday night meeting, Jesus, our Lord and King, was exalted and lifted high by our praise and worship. It was so wonderful, and His presence was so strong. I am so thankful that the Lord is always looking at our hearts, and that He so mercifully lets us know what is really going on inside of some of us, or all of us, even in a time of deep worship of Him, as we were having last night. And as we were expressing our love for Jesus through our worship of Him, I felt the Lord truly searching our hearts during that time, and He let me know what He was seeing. I spoke out that the Lord was seeing some in bondage, shackled by condemnation, because they are not at the place with Him that their heart really longs for. Yes, condemnation comes to steal your faith. It is part of the test, of course. If you are condemned because of your past failures, you must be thinking you could have done better. But you can't do any better unless you have faith in God. He is the one that does it in you. And you can't have faith and condemnation at the same time. The enemy knows that. So He condemns you. All you have to do is confess your sins, and He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, He says. So that's a simple, quick thing. That's not a rolling around in the dirt, in the mully grubs all the time, condemning yourself. You did a bad job. You failed this and you failed that. Forget the things which are behind. Press forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget the things which are behind. You must do this. So there's no condemnation. Who's condemning you for the things that are behind? He tells you to forget them. Okay? The Lord said, let the shackles of condemnation fall. Why are you bound by condemnation? I do not condemn you. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The shackles of condemnation must fall. Condemnation only hinders you from gaining more of anything in me. I tell you, in your desire for more of me, rest. That's faith. That's what you do when you have faith in the promises. You just rest because you believe. Know that I am drawing you to myself. I am not going to let you go. Let go of the things that you try to do in your own strength and have more of me. I have not left you. I will help you. Let me lead you as you give yourself in full surrender to me. And know, it is I who am molding you. It is I who will make you more and more like me as you move with me and leave me do my deep work in your heart. And let me do my deep work in your heart. Praise God. So as you are in full surrender to me, then those things that distract you, take your time, and condemn your heart must go. Even now I draw you to myself and I say, be free. Let the shackles of condemnation fall and follow me. He wants us to have faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And so you've got, if you get condemnation, if you accept it, you can't have faith. And that's what the devil wants. So he condemns you for all your past failures. Well, you're never going to be anything but a failure if you receive condemnation because you don't have faith. And faith is our access to the gift of Christ, right? Okay, we call this the blood of Jesus protects us from all condemnation. Matt Ezel 3:8-23. When we have a conviction of sin, even if we feel bad about ourselves, the Lord is still on our side. Satan is the accuser and will manipulate us into thinking the Lord is done with us. But the blood covers us, and the Holy Spirit is our helper. We really must have it in our minds that He is our Father, and He loves us no matter what. And that He doesn't think about us the way we tend to think about ourselves. Unless we are in blatant rebellion, we have nothing to worry about. Well, amen. This is so true. The Lord does not want us to live under condemnation because we won't access His benefits that way. And He wants us to be a witness of Him, right? You know, we are justified by faith. That means we are accounted righteous by our faith in the words of God, which of course teach us that Jesus bore all of our sins on the cross and they are gone. They are taken away. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. So since you're justified by faith in this, you're accounted righteous. That's what justified means. God accounts you righteous when you walk by faith, not by condemnation, but when you walk by faith, and He gives you all the benefits of the kingdom, because this is your access to all the benefits of the kingdom. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. If you accept condemnation, you will not have faith. There is a place for condemnation. It's willful disobedience. If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which devours the adversaries. So, you're going to be judged if you walk in willful disobedience. You know the truth, but you're going to do your own thing anyway. Okay, so what do you get? A spanking, because Jesus did not bear the penalty for that curse. He did not. You have no sacrifice for sin, it says. That's Hebrews 10:26 on down. So if you don't have a sacrifice, guess what? The devil is right there. He's ready to clobber you. Yeah, you wonder why you live under the curse? Well, I'm going to tell you. If you walk in willful disobedience, you're under the curse. If you add to or take away from God's word, you're under the curse. Come into agreement with God's word and don't live under the curse. Jesus bore the curse. He became accursed for us so that we might have Abraham's blessings. And Abraham was blessed in all things. So, this spiritual warfare is standing on a solid ground of justification by faith. And when you attack the demons behind the people, and you will have victory. Attack the people, and you will find an enemy. And you will lose, because our wrestling is not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness. Fight against the real enemy, and you will win. Spiritual warfare is a necessity. Casting out demons is a necessity to walk in the steps of Jesus. That was one of the signs that believers would have. In my name, they will cast out demons. And he said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So obey the Lord. You are his vessel here to conquer the enemy in others, as some of the first revelations we shared here. And we must be gentle with them. Yes, it is witchcraft, but they don't know that. And their rebellion against the word is every place they've added to and taken away from the word of God, and which is what religion normally does. It did it in Jesus' day, right? None of the religions followed Jesus in his day. There was the church, which was the called out ones. What were they called out of? Religion. None of those religions followed Jesus. People followed Jesus. Amen. Well, all right. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today. And praise be to God. All right. Good night, saints. Bless you.